open to Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 12. I hope y'all don't mind hitting a few verses from our Torah portion this past week. You know, something I find kind of fascinating about the book of Deuteronomy is, you know, this whole entire book is Moses giving a speech to Israel. And you may question, well, what's fascinating about that? But this is the same Moses that in Exodus chapter 3, what was his excuse whenever Yahweh called him? He said, I can't speak. But the eloquent wording in this book is a testament of how Yahweh can take somebody that's not qualified in their own eyes. And a lot of times that's exactly who he's looking for. Amen? And verse 12 says, and then it shall come to pass. What does your Bible say? Next word. Because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that Yahweh your Elohim will keep with you his covenant and his mercy to which he swore to your forefathers. Look at this next verse. And he, speaking of Yahweh, will love you and bless you and multiply you. And he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your herd, the young of your flock, and the lamb which he swore to your forefathers. And he said in verse 14, you shall be blessed above all people, and there will not be a male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And it says, Yahweh will remove all sickness, and he will not put any of the harmful diseases on you that he put on Egypt, which you did not know. And when you look at these words, it's very clear that Yahweh desires something from us. He desires to see us bear fruit, the fruits of righteousness. He's not sitting up on his throne looking for every moment he can to try to catch us slipping where he can punish. That's not his desire for us. His desire from his word is to see us bear fruit. And on our part, it's conditional. Some translations translate this word in Hebrew, it's ekev, and they translate it as if. If you listen to these judgments. And when you read through the Torah, I want to read a little bit off of Your Living Waters. It's a little commentary, and Ardell writes this. He said, if you've read through the Torah portion, particularly this one, then you've probably noticed the repetitions of the word remember and forget. Moses gives many warnings about the problems that may develop as time goes on. His proactive advice for attacking these problems will be to remember the past in order to solve the problems of the future. And it takes me to a scripture in 1 Corinthians where Paul says this, these things were written down for us as examples. Examples of what? We know the cliche that those who forget history are what? Doomed to repeat it. So we need to pay close attention to some of the details of what got Israel in trouble. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. It says this, you shall remember, there's that word again, all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. How many times in our life do we know that when testings come, that does prove something? A lot of times it'll prove what's really inside of our hearts. Because when everything's smooth sailing, we can hide a lot of stuff. But it's when the tests come. And it's when the trials come that exposes weaknesses in our life. Verse 3 says, he humbled you and he let you be hungry. And fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That he might make you what? Understand. There's a purpose behind his plan. To make you understand that what? Man does not live by bread alone. But man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Yah brought tests and trials on Israel to test their hearts. And it's almost immediately that we see something. We see something exposed. Immediately we see Israel when they come dancing out of Egypt. We see them start walking in disappointment. Because why? What did they get disappointed about? Things did not meet their expectations. And if y'all just hang on for about 30 minutes, I hope to go somewhere. Mark sprung this one on me last week. I had 6 days to prepare for this. But this is something y'all always been tugging on my heart about for a long time. I just have a hard time putting things into words. So can I show you something? If we can put ourselves in their shoes just for a moment and realize, because it's, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's easy for me when I start reading, especially the Bible, I start forgetting the humanness of the people in the stories. I don't know if it's our society that we've grew up in that has molded my mind to always try to portray these, because everything we see on TV is fake. We're seeing actors, we're seeing people portray something they're not, but these people were real. They had no idea that we would be talking about them 4,000 years later. So their mindset wasn't, I got to make this one good so it's something to talk about. What were they expecting when they left Egypt? That's the first question I want us to think about. What were they expecting? What does it say in Exodus 13, verse 5? They're getting ready to walk out, and they're given something, and they're told, you're going to a place flowing with milk and honey. Before you start beating up on them, think about it. There was a promise given to Abraham that was passed down, and they're being reminded of this promise. So it's only natural for us to what? Expect what I promised. And you know, I'm guilty in the past of reading some of this stuff or hearing preachers preach on it. And you almost want to get, especially if you're in a spiritual high, you almost want to think, I would be different than that. I don't think I would fall like that. But you know what? I've caught myself getting mad because I expected my burger to look like it did on the menu. And what happens when it comes out and it's about half the size? I get what? Disappointed, because I expected, it's a natural human tendency. It's natural to place expectations on the unseen. So they get out and immediately they're chased. And then they get out 3 days and there's no water. And then they're hungry. And then all of a sudden they're thinking, guys, this is not what I signed up for. Can we have a little compassion on the humanness of these people? Because Yahweh's got all this stuff in here to show us something and to teach us. Remember, it's there for examples. They had a promise, but they didn't realize there'd be a test. How many of you ever sat in class, especially, you know, we go to get certifications for our jobs and things like this, and you're sitting there and you're bored to death for a week? I don't pay attention half the time. Especially since social media came out, I'll get drowned out looking at Facebook or scribbling or tearing a cup apart, something. I just can't stay focused. And then we get down to the last day, and what guy says, they start handing out papers, and you think this is an evaluation. This happened to me in Pensacola a couple months ago, the reason it's fresh. And all of a sudden, there's a 5-page test. I didn't do too good. Wasn't expecting it. So if you take notes, here's a good one to write down. Our response to trials will determine our destination. Because a generation left Egypt destined for what? Promised land. And their response to the trials that came cost them their destiny. Let that sink in for a minute. Our response to trials determines our destination. Can I read a little bit more? This is kind of funny, this part. Verse 6, he says, therefore you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For Yahweh is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains, springs flowing forth in the valley and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of figs and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive and honey, and a land where food will be without scarcity. And you're asking, why do you think that's funny? Because these guys have been eating bread for 40 years. And I don't know if you've ever passed by McDonald's on Day of Atonement and the wind shifts and you can smell the chicken nuggets. Son, there's a desire there that hits when you've been deprived of it. And here he is describing, I'd be thinking, come on, Moses, really? Can you at least get us there before you and just let us see what we've got? And they're sitting there hungry. They've been eating bread. I'd be like, give me a fig. And I don't even like figs. Verse 11, we'll read through 18 real quick. It says, beware that you do not forget Yahweh, your Elohim, by what? Not keeping his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied, have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, all that you have multiplies, then what? Your heart will become proud. Yahweh knows there's a danger of us forgetting him when our expectations are met. Sometimes it's too soon. Sometimes, see, he knows my heart way better than I do. And I think he knows that I can't have money. I can't be rich. Because I'm telling you, I would forget my Maker. It's always been at the times, man, when I've been at the lowest. When I've clung to him. And I'm ashamed of that. I don't know why that is. Why can't I praise him and hold on to him when things are good? I don't know. So did he see something in that generation that he knew that these guys, they're not the ones? But he was going to give them the opportunity. And they expected it. And then when he said, you know what, I see some things in your heart that I know ain't right. I've got to test you first. And all of a sudden the test came and their expectation turned to disappointment. Yeah. We ever been there in our life? Do you know that the number one thing, I like reading statistics. And do you know what the number one thing that causes a divorce in America? I always would assume that everybody says communication failures, finances, all these things. Unmet expectations. See, we got a couple for us to get married, and I bet Candace is expecting that Ben will never leave his shoes by the bed. He will always take the garbage out. And he probably will be the only man I know that does. But what I'm saying, be careful. Ben, I can't see you. He's hiding. If I can give you a word of advice, be careful what you place your expectations in a human. You can love somebody and you can hope and wish, but here's the reality. There's only one that won't fail us. He's the only one that we can place those high expectations on because he will never let us down. And I'm telling you, you've got to be careful because there's so many people that will tell you they left church. They walked away from the Father. Why? Because the man or the woman that they looked up to failed and let them down and they turned their back on Yahweh. Because they were disappointed. Disappointment kept them out of the promised land. Terry, you being a Raiders fan, you know all about disappointment.
Hey, it was coming this year.
It's this year. That's the expectation. Can we turn to Luke 13, please? Luke 13, beginning with verse 6. I'm going to read through verse 9 real quick. It says this. And he, speaking of Yeshua, began telling this parable. Said a man had a fig tree, which he had planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for what? He came looking for fruit on it, and he did not find any. And he said to the vine keeper, behold, for 3 years I have came looking for fruit on this tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he, the manager of the vineyard, says this, let it alone, sir, for this year also, until I dig around it and put in some fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down. Let's walk through this vineyard real quick with Yeshua. There's a few object lessons here that he can teach us. You know, apparently he's surveying the nation after he spent how many years ministering among them? Approximately 3 years. And obviously Yeshua didn't find what he was looking for. In order to illustrate his disappointment with what the religious system has created, he turns to another agricultural example. See, Yeshua always... most often he would always turn to natural analogies to show us a few things. The nature of man, the nature of our failure, and the nature of Yahweh's mercy. Because no matter how educated you are or the lack thereof, natural, practical things can be taught to a child. And in this story, there's an owner of a vineyard who was disappointed for lack of fruit. There was a manager who was disappointing, and there was a tree that was dysfunctional. Everybody look at your husband and say, at one point you've been all three. No, think about that, really. Manager came looking for fruit. He came expecting something. And his expectation quickly turned to disappointment to the point where he said, just get the tree out of here. It's taking up fertile ground. And then you look from Yahweh's perspective, how big of a disappointment if he followed the emotion path that we would follow. It had to have been for him to provide everything that man needed in the garden. And we blew it. He provided a perfect environment. And we blew it. The context of this parable, and you can find all varieties of opinions about it, but I narrowed it down to three things. The vineyard represents the nation of Israel, according to Isaiah chapter 5. The fig tree, in this context, looks to be representing the leadership of Yeshua's time. And when the leadership is not bearing fruit, this part, Mr. Arnold, is what hit me hard. When the leadership is not bearing fruit, the whole vineyard suffers. According to this parable, there was only one tree that was not producing. And if you notice in verse 8, This manager didn't make any excuses. His response was, "Sir, I know that you came expecting all of your trees and vines to be producing fruit. And I know that you've came and noticed this one for 3 years has not been bearing fruit. But he said, can you give it one more year? Can you give it one more year?" And he tells him something odd. He says, "I'm going to take it and I'm going to start to dig. You dig taters, you don't dig figs." He says, "I'm going to start to dig." Which means he was getting what? Below the surface. Because see, close to the root. The problem appeared at the level of the leaves. But the problem was caused, and this man knew this through experience, at the level of the roots. So instead of just saying, "Yeah, let's cut it down, dig it up, and let's plant another one, we can make better use," he said, "I'm going to dig around this tree." Because he seen the potential in it. And he said, "Let me dig." And see, sometimes if you put this in a natural application in our lives, the problems may not always be where they appear. There's one thing I've learned about dealing with the public and dealing with people is a lot of times, most times, people's reactions are always caused by another source. There's always usually something that causes people to react certain ways. And it's the same thing in our spiritual walks. There may be an area in my life that I'm struggling with over here, and I want to polish the leaves, when the problem is I need to get down and get dirty and get in the dirt and get to the root. And see, that's what he's teaching us here. There's lack of fruit in some of our lives. We're putting off pretty leaves, but we don't have the fruit. Does he just cut us down? No, because we've got an intercessor that's saying, "No, Father, let me dig a little bit around him." And then look at this. This is interesting. He said, "I'm going to dig around it and put some fertilizer in it." And if you read that in the King James, it says, "I'm going to dig around it, and I'm going to dung it." Some translations say, "put manure in it." So, he wants to produce something sweet, but he's going to take something that stinks and put around our root system. So think about this. Is it possible that sometimes, I'm not saying all cases, but sometimes stuff comes into our lives that stink, and Yahweh's allowing it to help bring forth fruit in our lives? Instead of just cutting us down, he says, "You know what? No, I see the man's heart. I see the lady's heart. I see what's really in there, but I got to break this ground up. I got to bring some things into their life." Because remember what I said a while ago, when things are great, I don't always lean on my king. So sometimes you got to break that dirt up and get some manure in there. And then the following year, he says, "I'm going to come back and inspect this." And then here's what's most interesting about this story to me, is it just stops. He doesn't tell you what happens to the tree. Usually Yeshua's parables always have an ending. It's not always a happy ending, but he just leaves it. So the guy's going to dig around it, bring some fertilizer. So let me ask you this. What are you going to do in the areas of your life where there's no fruit? Are you going to throw your hands up and give up? Or you could get down and start digging in the dirt and get to the root of the problems. And start embracing some of the stink that comes in our lives. See, sometimes, if you ever got disappointed with something, and in the back of your mind, if you're honest with yourself, you're really thinking, I didn't deserve this. Why'd this happen to me? I didn't deserve this. There's another one you can write down if you take notes. When disappointments come, will you be stalled and derailed from the Lord's will for your life? Or will you find yourself beginning to understand His purpose so you can learn from these situations? Have you ever allowed the enemy to get in your ear when things are going wrong? Have you ever allowed that voice that's inside of your head to tell you that this is the end of it? This is, you might as well just walk away and give up. I have. So there's two things in life that seem to cause the biggest disappointments in humans, and that's people and circumstances. And sometimes the circumstances that come my way in the end is for my good. I don't know what everybody's going through in here. I don't know what kind of circumstances is in your life that can start causing fear and doubt and questionings of why. But I can tell you this. I know that if anything that's ever came my way that's hard, that I've had to go through, just one person one day can benefit from it, then it's almost worth going through. Mark, I could feel your pain that night at the hospital. Why? Because I paid for two kids. Hands that were mine that were in critical condition. I didn't know would they live or die. And all I knew was to tell this man, whatever happens, Mark, it's going to be fine because our God is still King. Why did I tell him that? Not because I'm trying to boast to him, because I had to say the same thing while I held my children. With a clear heart, I had to hold my wife's hand and say, whatever happens, He's in control of it. Sometimes life stinks. But somehow or another, that manure turns to something and produces sweetness if we allow it to. I wish so much that life could just go as planned sometimes. But you know, on the flip side, that I talked to a guy at work one day, and he made this statement. He said, you know, I've always got everything I've ever wanted in life. He said, I married the girl that I wanted to marry in high school. He said, we wanted a boy and a girl, got a boy and a girl, wanted a job here, and he named out all this stuff in his career path, his life. And he looked at me and said, but Doug, I'm still not happy. Everything went, he said, the only thing I could change was if I had access to millions of dollars. He said, but up to this point, I can honestly say life has brought me everything I've wanted, and I'm still not happy. Why is that? Because we're expecting in the wrong places. Because whether we're high or low, if we hope in Him, we'll find that joy. It don't matter if you don't have a dollar to your name. Last one to write down if you take notes. This one came to me yesterday morning. And it's this. If we stay focused on the promise, we will not be hindered by our problems. When you look in Hebrews chapter 12, and you think about Yeshua's humanness. He was so disappointed that the Scripture says that Yeshua wept. And a lot of people don't even realize what he wept over. He wept over Jerusalem because he said, your hour of visitation was here and you missed it. I brought good things to you and I had an expectation to find fruit and you rejected what I brought you. And that was enough to make any of us give up. To know that you were sent to your own people and it said he was sent to his own and his own received him not. You don't think he felt disappointment in his heart and his spirit? But look at this. It says, Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. See, he seemed beyond the disappointment and the trials and the testings that came his way. He looked beyond all that and seen and remembered the promises that was only going to be kept through him. And it says, because of that joy set before him, he endured the cross, the greatest trial of mankind. It says, because of the joy he endured. So, I want to leave you today with this. It says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you shall not grow weary and lose heart. So at the times in our life when it seems like things are just going wrong, and there's things that's uncertain in our life, read Psalms 16:2, I think it is. And then Psalm 73:25 that says, who have I in heaven but you? And besides you, Yahweh, there's nothing on earth that I desire. See, I'm not nowhere near that point yet in life. Nowhere. But I think if we can get this mindset and we can get this heart, that the things and bumps in life that come our way, maybe it won't derail us so bad. Why? Because I'm focusing on the promise. It's not easy, but it's doable. And like we spoke back at Passover time, if we can just watch the Lamb and focus on Him and not get sidetracked by all the stuff in life. And if anybody's got the answer for me, I need some help with this. Because it is so easy. To get lost in the distractions and the worries of life. And to forget. And you know what? And maybe that's the key. Maybe my desires are stronger on things of this world than they are on Him. But the psalmist seemed to find a key. Because when you read that whole chapter, he's discouraged and just dismayed and just ready to give up. And he said, but who have I in heaven but you? And I desire nothing on earth but you. Maybe that's the answer. Father, we thank you for, Father, your blessings in life. And Father, we ask you right now, Father, just to, Father, begin working in our hearts and in our lives to, Father, to really begin to trust, Father, that if we just allow you to guide and turn our lives, Father, that you know our destination. And Father, and I just pray that you give us the strength, Father, to endure the tests and the trials that do come with this life. And Father, to help us understand that you're only bringing these things about to bring about our good. Father, we love you and we thank you. Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. One with the staff in the head.